This is the Team Builders Podcast, building better teams.
It's never the what that will change, it's the how. And if you have to go around that, so set out your what, tell everybody what the what is, and then everyone will hopefully come on board with how we achieve that.
This is the Team Builders Podcast with Stephen Haseley, Jerry Crowley and Jonathan Haseley.
Welcome to the Team Builders Podcast. My name's Jonathan. I'm one of the directors with Team Challenge Company, and I am delighted to be joined, as always, by my two fine colleagues, Stephen and Jerry. How are we today, gents?
I'm great.
Yeah, I'm in good shape. Good shape, ready to rock.
Okay, so this podcast and all the ones that we have done previously and all that follow are all about insights into what makes a great team, what's important to us, and why we do what we do. We're really excited to have some people join us in some of the episodes on interviews and talk about our team building around the world. But for today, our focus is all about our learning styles, how people learn differently, what they achieve from that, and how we can help impact that for our customers. So I got questions written down at the ready just to make sure I don't mess up. Jerry and Stephen, we have lots of different training on different theories. Can you explain some simple terms of what different styles of learning are?
Learning styles, there are a tremendous amount. So I'm maybe going to attack it from a different angle. I walk into a room. First thing I do before I start is say hello to everybody and try and get an idea of what type of people they are. Like, we do use Bellman in our workplace.
Yeah.
You know, we're all familiar with it here. We also use Insights. We're quite lucky. We have such a spectrum of tools to pull out when we walk into a room. So, you know, you try to identify how you can reach those people. I think reaching the people and touching the people and how they want it given to them is the key. So, for instance, I talk about myself. I would say I'm not very analytical. I would say I'm very visual.
Yeah.
I need to feel it and understand it before I actually buy into it.
Yeah.
So I can relate to those people quite quickly. But here's where the key is. I meet an analytical person and they want it written down. They want it explained. They want it demonstrated. I do that for them, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And that's how I win as team building. But for us to go into a room and to conflict these different styles of learning, you're setting yourself up for like semi-disaster. Like, be like being back at school. You know, there was corporal punishment, there was dusters being thrown, and I guess they just didn't understand how you understood your work, so they just hit you. Whereas nowadays, you know, it's much more open to a child's learning, so you listen to how they want it. They're giving it to them iPads, they're giving it to them in drawings, they're giving them, like my son comes home with pictures. I mean, you dread to think how they're learning, but I think that's elevated. However, I just reiterate, the skill is in the person who notices and can change how they react to the person in front of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like for you, you know, if we were having a debate,
yeah,
you know, there's if I started showing you facts, figures, everything, and just true, you'd probably soak all that up.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
But then we'd have an equal argument or an equal debate. Let's have one now.
Stephen, any thoughts on that?
I would take one step back from walking into a room in that when we're talking to a client and presenting to them, we would ask them what they want to achieve and how they want to achieve it and what is the comfort zone of their colleagues and their clients. And if they are, for example, accountants or engineers, they'll have a specific bent towards some of the games that we have or tasks that we have. And for us to try and shoehorn something that not just stretches their comfort zone but tries to break it wouldn't be natural, and I don't think they would really get a lot out of it. So a lot of it's just driven by, you know, the organiser and what they want to achieve from it, and for us to be able to deliver part of our portfolio to them to really float the boat so that they get a lot out of it themselves personally, whatever style that they learn through, and so that it's a great day for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some of the challenge and joy of that is that generally we're working with groups of 30, 50, 60, 100, 200, 400, 800. You know, there's obviously going to be an enormous amount of different learning styles within the same audience. And whenever we go out there to deliver our product, the product suits all of those things. And we just need to be able to help them connect the dots for everybody.
Also, they're in the room. They're already a good team or a great team. We're trying to show them that they are a good and a great team. And maybe a small marginal difference that can make them rejoice and reward in that and push themselves that little bit extra to try and get that little bit more out of their lives and out of their career and out of their opportunity to enjoy their days.
And we did an event quite recent, actually, in a room, and it was about 120 in there. Mm. And there's a couple of people, you know, who just weren't engaged.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, argumentative almost to the point of like wanting the game to fail or whatever.
Yeah.
And again, the skill is in us and training that to our team to be able to try and switch that person. And I remember the gentleman said to me, you know, I can't be bothered. And I thought to myself, why aren't you bothered? He says, because it's almost lunchtime.
Yeah.
I says, well, I'll get you something to eat now. I went and I got him like a, you know, a biscuit for the thing. Yeah. Gave him a biscuit. And he's like, oh, that's great. And he started like doing stuff. It. Now, I don't know. Obviously, he just had some issues with, he was preoccupied or whatever. Yeah. But having the ability to work with the people who, and change yourself. I don't mean to over push that. But like Stephen said, he was speaking to the organiser. And then you mentioned they organize one person, but the group's like
100.
So when we go in there, we can't just listen to what the booker says. Because we want them all to kick into it. And everyone has a light, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
everyone has a light. It takes huge energy from us to, like, you know, keep bursting that out. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've seen some, dare I say, howlers.
Yeah. It's common. You know, it's about finding common goals too. And everyone loves, you know, no matter what we do with our events, whenever we show the trophy at the start, everyone as soon as switches on and steps up. And I think that's really important, you know, to be able to tap into what drives people and to be able to help ascertain that, because at the end of the day, they're part of, particularly with the customers that we work with, you know, they're primarily large blue chip corporate organizations or companies that really want to be a large blue chip corporate organization. So they tend to employ people that are encouraged and that are engaged with the business that they're in. And you definitely see people come and go, and you definitely see maybe people there for the wrong reasons, like a guy going, I'll do anything just to win that trophy, as opposed to kind of engage with the message. But definitely, whenever we get the opportunity to bring on board all of those learning styles and they find something that connects them all, that common ground, that's like the win. That's what, you know, takes it from a guy that wants to just go to his lunch to a guy that goes, oh yeah, it was great to be part of today.
I think success leaves clues, and there's a clue on our name, Team Challenge Company. So whenever people see three handsome guys standing up there and the rest of the team, there only are three handsome guys, it's not us.
There's two here.
So they know that we're going to challenge them in some way, and that might be physically, mentally, you know, spiritually, it might be motivationally, but they're going to get something out of it. And it's our job to go beyond what their expectations are and really make it a wow factor. So people, the penny drops and they get it. They get themselves, they get their colleagues, and they get the company. They're already successful. We just try to bring something extra to the party.
Here's a question for you. All three of us are Belbin facilitators, you know?
Yep.
But how often do we use Belbin when we don't get paid for it?
You mean you bring the knowledge to the table?
Yeah, like when you walk into that room, and you, I know you said before you get into the room, but when you're in the room and you're delivering, like you're opening lines and you want to captivate people, surely my brain has calculated already, like, the different type of people that is needed.
Yeah.
Like, that has to be huge value to give, you know, something that we take for granted.
Yeah, I think, you know, an important thing might be to tell people that are listening what Belbin is.
Well, I guess it's a psychometric profiling, although Belbin is called a questionnaire. And it's about people's behaviour. You can alter your behaviour, and there's always the big debate about your behaviour or personality. Yeah. So in the world of business and teams, it's safe to say that you can create your own behaviour in the moment that is required. So Meredith Belbin, the creator, is still alive. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to take a guess, he's 89. But years and years of research, and it breaks it down into 9 different behaviours you need to have the best functional team. However, you don't need 9 people in the team. You just need 9 roles developed in the team. So that's a quick summary of what Belbin is in a nutshell, but it's vast. It's huge. We're excited by it because it actually helps us understand the teams that we walk into the room to deal with, and not just, you know, I'm not going to say wing it, but we've got some force behind what we do. You know, we all love teams. I know Stephen and myself, and I know you too, like big Tony Robbins fans, you know, and he's the man for us.
Yeah.
So we spend our spare time listening to him and reading the revolutions of his theory and teams. But to link that back to Belbin, all in the split second, and know what to say to that person in front of you.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's a huge advantage that I know that we don't take for granted, but it does feel that way, doesn't it?
I think for me, again, and the clients that I and we work with, it's all about investment of money and time and energy. And we want those all to be successful for them. Mm-hmm. So they are spending, you know, sometimes a very substantial amount of money, and we want to get great bang for their buck. And however they want us to deliver those events with the backup, as Jerry was saying, of theories and experiential learning and fun, et cetera. It's part of a portfolio.
Yeah.
I don't think any one thing works. It's a portfolio of lots of different things, perhaps throughout a year or a 3-year period, where people learn more about themselves, more about their colleagues, and feel comfortable in their own skin and the skin of the company as well, fulfilling those visions and values. And that's clear and evident in the companies that we work with. 500, 50, 250 companies. Companies that are small want to be bigger. I don't think I've ever worked with a company who wanted to be smaller or a company who ever wanted to be less successful. We have worked with individuals who maybe not want to be part of the game, But they're not the driving force in that business. And everybody knows that, including themselves. So we pride ourselves on working with people who want to make a difference and enjoy the day.
People love labels, don't they? They like to understand themselves.
Yeah.
So when we're challenged, one of the great questions we always ask is, who was upset when the game went from collaborative to competitive?
You know, yeah.
It's always people stand up. All shame says, I am desperate. I checked out, all this kind of stuff. But it's great to be able to tell them that that's how they are. It's normal.
Yeah.
You know, and give them that role and what that's called. You know, we call it a resource investigator. They're out looking for bigger things. Once they've captured it, they're away. And they feel comfortable in that. And then they don't feel it let the team down.
Because
they've played their role. They've cheered. And at the end, yes, they don't know how to finish the thing.
Yeah.
They're just standing there. But they're there and they're fully invested because they got to that point.
And I think a lot of that is what shapes, you know, us as people and us in our business, in the fact that we go out, you know, it's maybe sometimes a blessing and a curse for us. When we're listening to clients' expectations or objectives, we think, okay, I really want to be there because I want to be able to deliver that for them.
Yeah.
And you know, you connect the fact that although they're perhaps tasked with booking a 1.5 hour session to a message of collaboration, really we know that there's more that we can provide for them. And I think that's a big thing of what drives me and drives all of us, I'm sure. And that we listen to that and go, okay, I know what they need. I know what we can do, even in just 90 minutes to impact that. And that can sometimes be a challenge, because I'll say, well, boys, I'm definitely going to speak with RSM, or I'm definitely going to go work with Coca-Cola or whoever it might be. But equally, I think that's what's important to
us. They're not buying something off a shelf. It's
no,
not like
exactly,
you know.
One of our core values is trust, and I think that we've built up trust over many, many years and decades now, actually, so that people trust us. They know that no matter what they throw at us, if we can do it, it's you know, at the right place, at the right time, and it's viable, then we can deliver it for them. And if we can't, we tell them up front, you know, if we don't think the theme or the product or the service that we can deliver for them doesn't work, we'll tell them right up front.
Yeah.
So they trust in us to be able to do that. And 99.99 times out of 100, we do that for them.
There's a great, I learned this from Tony, and how to get inside somebody, you know, when you're at a conflict stage, you know, you mimic their moves.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and that's a, you know, I'm just thinking of the styles of learning.
Yeah.
Learning doesn't have to be tough. You have to adapt, you know, yourself and take it on.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we meet people who think they've learned everything and they're not prepared.
They're like myself.
They're not prepared. And I think when you can have those in your armory and use that at the right time, what an advantage that is.
What I quite enjoy sometimes is the people that are there, they get out of it what they want to get out of it.
Yeah.
You know, not always can everybody be the superstar. You know, there only ever is one CEO whenever we're in the business, and that filters down. But I enjoy the fact where I see people take from it what they want and what they need to get from the experience. And that's what the people that work with us are looking for.
Yeah.
They don't want us to change everybody's lives all of the time, but they want each person to understand why they were there, understand what they can, understand what they can do to impact positively in their own day-to-day work that helps them in the business. And, you know, the business that we work with, some of them are just looking to sell 10 more products next year. Some people are looking to turn over many more hundreds of millions, and they try to, you know, engage with us to help them, help their people come along on that journey.
Yeah, understand the story.
Yeah, understand the story and get that. And I think that's
And also realise that the competition isn't in the room. It's not between marketing and sales and operations and finance. The competition is out with that room.
Yeah.
It's their big competitors. And they have to realise that, you know, times are tough for everybody across the globe. And the winners are those teams that can pull it all together, muster the resources and push forward.
Yeah. That's generally what, you know, we have lots of great outcomes that we get to deliver. That's generally the vast majority of what people come to us for. Collaboration across the board. Yeah, they want to, you know, break down that silo mentality. They want to take it away from this department, that department. And I actually really enjoy, because obviously we have that factor where we just work with finance. I love the wholesale things. We were just there last week with one of our favourite clients, International Beverage, and they had everybody there from their production team right through to their marketing director. I mean, this is a company that is selling hundreds of millions of pounds worth of
Scottish
whiskey.
Fine water.
Exactly. Malt whiskey around the world. And I love that they take the time to get their whole business together and get everybody on board with their message. That really inspires me.
Yeah.
It inspires me to do that for our business.
Yeah, it's true.
That's really important.
Yeah.
I know that we have strategic conversations between ourselves and thoughts about where we want to go and what we want to do.
Isn't it crazy? There's a big difference between teams. You know, we do experience at one team, say, like, it's a collaborative experience, but how some people can, and some teams are very, very good at it.
Yeah.
Some teams are okay.
Yeah.
And then there's some are like, you know, awful. Pretty poor. Yeah. Pretty poor. We won't name no names. Yeah. But I think that's the mentality of a lack of sharing of the vision of what the business is.
Yep.
And those that are at it come in already pumped. Can't end on that dear note.
No,
damn,
John. Geez, oh, yeah, we're going to have to bring this back. Yeah, thanks, Jerry. You know, one thing I really love, boys, in particular, about what we do, we get out there and we get to share all our knowledge and expertise and experience with these amazing companies that we work with all over the world. But I really love what we can learn from them too. And I think that there's lots that we take back with us to share with our team and to, you know, share in our business. And the whole collaboration element is something that we've always been strong on. But I think that, you know, we can continue to work on. Yeah. And I think how we work together, the three of us, as well as our wider team, you know, it can be tumultuous at times.
Yeah.
But hopefully we always get to the goal. Don't know how
you... I mean, when you see a CEO, like you mentioned there, in front of 120, 300, 400, taking the time to speak to them and they're, like that's tens of thousands of pounds for the venue, the time, the wages. And yes, we've got, you know, 18.
Yeah.
And sometimes we neglect that vision because we have it between the three of us. Big lesson. Like you go and you have to share that vision in order to excite them, because I guess they're on their own journey within our business.
Yeah.
You like to think you can keep them and
absolutely.
You know, train them well and do the best, but you know,
nurture the talent.
So to collaborate internally,
it takes effort,
and because it's our business, it's not forced on us, but if when we don't do it, we're disappointed.
Yes, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
So we can see the misgiving.
I'm the madman for personal responsibility, and we're all parents here, which is great, and our children are at different stages, and I am the man that thinks education is the root of all success, and also self-education as well. So it's not just what you study, it's what you do beyond that. And for my children and Jerry's children and Jonathan's child, you know, I think it's all about encouraging them to do exactly what they want to do, become great at that, love it. And then through that, they'll have a great career. And it'll seem as if they're never having to do any work because they're enjoying it so much. And the teams that I've worked with and the companies that I've worked with, they love doing, most of them love doing what they do. And that's openly and apparent. And I do think they value that time and energy and effort that the CEO or the organizer puts into them to show them that they're loved and they're appreciated.
Yeah.
And
they
could do a small bit more as a team.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great process whereby people take on personal responsibility and don't point the finger upwards towards the company. They point the finger at themselves and say, well, what more can I do to make me a better person? Whatever that may do. Small marginal gains for themselves going forward.
Yeah.
Set your own standard.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what I've seen in that from that perspective as well is that what's important is sharing the goal, you know, the overarching vision of what everyone is to
fighting
to get
for,
to. Yeah. And I think that often there are obviously people within that organization that have a much, let's call it, bigger responsibility or more targeted responsibility to achieve particular things, whether that be more sales or more product development or whatever it might be. And there will be other people within that organization that, you know, fit into that and help achieve those outcomes. But the key thing is that they share the goal. Everyone gets the goal. They're all on board with it. And they all decide, okay, I know how to play my part in achieving that goal.
When?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When's the time to step up and do it?
Yeah.
And yeah, we had a cool thing again. He showed, you know, it's never the what that will change, it's the how. And if you have to go around that, you know, that's the thing. So set out your what, tell everybody what the what is, and then everyone will hopefully come on board with how we achieve that.
Get stuck in the trenches. We certainly do as our business, and you forget. But because we're working with those top elite businesses, that's, I mean, we're privileged, because then we get that buzz ourselves.
Yeah.
Because I think if you're stuck in the trench every day dealing with other businesses' issues and we're helping fixing them, you forget to fix your own.
I think Dothan proved that better to us and to our clients than when we faced the COVID crisis, whereby, you know, a business fell off the end of the cliff, to be honest, and we had warehouses full of hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of equipment and no way of delivering that. And we always wanted to be in this business, and we always wanted to be the event managers and make a difference to teams. And so we came up as a team, myself excluded probably, ways to deliver that in a virtual format, and that proved massively successful. And we've rolled that into today's delivery of both virtual and real life opportunities, and going from strength to strength from that.
Okay, boys, thank you very much. That is us for today. Great to have the opportunity to catch up again and chat through some of all those topics. If you want to hear anything more about what we can offer for you, for your business, for the teams that you work with, please check out our website, teamchallenge-company.co.uk. You're probably already on there, so enjoy that experience. And we will catch you next time on the Team Builders Podcast. Thank you.